Hello there! Welcome to the International Business Podcast, a show for those who work across time zones, borders, and cultures. I'm your host, Leonardo, from Shanghai, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. We also have a new co-host, Stefano, based in Paris. Coming up on today's episode.
Even when we talk about the AI transformation, it's not just the artificial intelligence technology that is playing the key role. So it's only the one of the key player in this transformation. There are a number of other technologies that when they work all together, they make this transformation happen. It makes it really valuable. So when you are in the fintech, you are working on the financial data. When you are in life science, you're working on the life science data. And so at high level, you're turning these data into insight. You aim at.
Puya is a passionate product management practitioner and leader with his sleeves rolled up and two hands on the job. By doing product management, he is walking on his path to solve complex problems, add value, and make a real difference to this world. This is the first episode where the new co-host Stefano leads the way. So, enjoy the conversation between them.
Hello, Puya. I'm very glad to have you on and welcome to the show.
Hello, Stefano. Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
This is my first episode as co-host, so...
What a pleasure I have.
Yes, so you're welcome. Why would you define yourself as an international professional?
So I see actually myself as a member of the global community, I would say. You can translate that as an international professional. And I think it's really all about the mindset. I would start actually with the fact that, you know, we're living in the connected world thanks to the social media. I mean, with the most recent one, which is the, you know, you might have heard about the Clubhouse, that you can literally... start a conversation with, you know, people you never met in the past, and it's not even in your network. So, and the other thing is that on the personal side, so I've been living and working in different countries for the past 15 years. So I was born and raised in Iran, but then I moved at the age of 20, two, three, to the UK and living in London since then. So it's about like 15 years. I've worked in different companies, which they were all international. And I have actually, my second home is not anymore Iran, is actually Toronto, Canada. So I travel there quite a lot as well. In all the companies I work, I've had the chance to work in sectors and the companies that they've been international. We've had offices in different parts of the world, different continents, and we have had co-workers from, you know, every corner of the world, and also customers from different places. So even working with all these people have given me a good insight and wisdom of how other people think. The last but not least, I think the most important thing from the career perspective is that I've been mostly working on complex problems, specifically in the life sciences. And I think when you're working on the complex problems, there's no border for that. So when you are, you know, when you consider like domains like healthcare or agriculture or food, there's no border for that. So you have to actually, you know, working on that problem, you have to think globally.
2018 winner of the Artificial Intelligence in Finance Award designed by CFTE, that's the Center for Finance, Technology and Entrepreneurship, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Ngee Ann Polytechnic of Singapore?
Yes.
Can you tell us more about this achievement?
Sure. It's actually Niang Polytechnic and the CFTE.
I knew it.
No, don't worry.
Thank you.
So I need to give a little bit of background on that. So I'm a product person, as you introduced me well at the beginning. Means that I do product management. The reason I do product management is because of my passion for entrepreneurship. My background is in computer science, but I never became a developer because my passion was more into, as I said, the entrepreneurship, and the closest career path I could find was the product management. So for the last 10, 12 years, I've been doing products. But it was only as of 2016 when I joined the Lloyds Bank in the UK that I started to learn more about the artificial intelligence, because the mission at that time that I was given was to help Lloyds Bank with their machine intelligence program that was quite like a building and a startup within the bank to define different B2B or B2C products for the both consumer and also for the banks internally, using advanced technologies like artificial intelligence, process robotic process automation, etc. So we had this mission to build that product-led organization. So I was quite, you know, confident on the product side of that. But in terms of using the applied science, in particular the AI, my knowledge in 2016 about the AI was limited. So that was kind of a motivation for me. I had to, you know, define and deliver products that were powered by AI, and also, you know, in parallel, self-train myself on the AI side. So that led me to do a bit of investigation around what courses are out there, what companies, what, you know, what platforms are there to help people want to get into the AI. And I got to know about the CFT, Center for Finance, Technology and Entrepreneurship, which they themselves were a startup, but it was a very good timing because they just published, they released a course around the application of AI in finance. I'm talking about 2017, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, I registered. I found that course. I was quite, you know, excited. I registered to that and I tried to start to learn about that. And then after a few months, they announced that they are going to hold a competition about the best idea around the application of AI in finance. And one of the conditions was that you have to finish the course before being able to submit your idea. Obviously, I had registered, but because I was, you know, I was also working, so I was kind of like, you know, learning in parallel and sometimes got distracted. So it was a kind of lengthy process for me to finish that. But I used that occasion and as an excuse to push myself to finish the course and also in parallel work on that paper about the, you know, my idea of how we can actually best apply AI in different parts of the financial domain. So eventually I locked myself for 2 hours every day for about a month after work to both finish the course and also, you know, write the paper. And why I did that, it was more for because it was already like about a year and a half I was doing that and I was learning AI in parallel. And I really had the first-hand experience on delivering these products. So it was not really just based on the things that I had read or, you know, investigated. So I combined my learning and also my hands-on experience. And I really thought that, okay, so I write this paper just as a kind of like sharing my experience, but I never thought about, you know, like winning or anything. But eventually I submitted that. And I was one of the, you know, one of the three winners. So two winners were in Singapore and I was obviously from London. So yeah, it was a very, very good experience. And the prize was that they sent me to Singapore for the largest fintech festival. And so I really enjoyed it. And I had to pitch my idea in front of large audiences. And, you know, I met with many entrepreneurs that you can actually meet in a week. Quite amazing experience I had, yeah.
Talking about life science, I'm very curious about, I mean, how does the life science market or, I mean, the ecosystem look like? And with a focus on product, because I'm trying to think of a product in a life science market. And, you know, whenever I think about life science, I just think about entomology or zoology or biology.
Yeah, or healthcare.
Yeah, exactly. So please enlighten me.
Yeah. No. I'm also new in this domain, and so maybe actually it's a good chance for me to say why I moved to the life sciences. So working years for years in the fintech industry, came to a sort of a situation that I found myself getting into the comfort zone and not really saying that I knew all about the, you know, the entire financial domain, but I think I had done enough in that for some years. So I thought that I need a new challenge. Also, I was working towards the end of my previous job at Lloyds. I was working on an initiative which was to turn financial data into insight. So when the job landed on my desk in the life sciences, I found that job and the problem that company is trying to solve is quite similar in high level with what I was doing there. That was one reason. The second reason was that it was at the very beginning of the pandemic. So I found that, okay, so it might be actually a very good chance for me to add some value starting in life science. And the third one was that I get to know that, okay, so maybe the impact of the AI in life science is more valuable for both human beings or any beings. Fourth reason that I moved to the life science was because I'm also a patient, I'm diabetic. I thought that, okay, maybe it's a good chance that I start a career in life science for the rest of my career, I can actually add some good values. And at some point, probably I would contribute in diagnosing the diseases or, you know, finding cure by using my expertise in, you know, product management and application of AI, etc., to help that.
And let's focus on the AI. I mean, how technology is actually shaping the future of life sciences. The impact, as you said, the impact of the AI in the short term and in the long term in this massive scenario that you just described.
The key point I want to mention here, even when we talk about the AI transformation, it's not just the artificial intelligence technology that is playing the key role. So it's only the one of the key player in this transformation. There are a number of other technologies that when they work all together, they make this transformation happen. It makes it really valuable. Think it like a music band, right? In music band, you have different instruments. You have to play each instrument well so that it generates a nice sound. And all together, the sounds are coming generated from different instruments. When it's played well and in harmony, you hear the beautiful, you know, music. Other technologies like Internet of Things or IoT. IoT plays a key role because without the data, AI can do nothing. AI is like a baby that requires data, and the data is milk. Then after that, it comes to the cloud computing. Imagine you have gathered a large volume of data, we call it the big data, right? You can't really store it on your, you know, on one server, two server, or in your local machine. And even that's a storage part of that. The other side of that is actually processing power. So cloud computing is playing a massive role in storage and processing of that all data. You know, getting more specific about the AI, that consists of, so AI is an umbrella term, right? It consists of different technologies within that. Mostly the engine is the machine learning, and the deep learning is actually, you know, a subset of the machine learning itself. There are other technologies like natural language processing. So you have gathered data by using the IoT or sensors. You have a storage, you know, you stored it. Now you need to process that data. And that data is not always in a more traditional tabular format, which we call it the structured data. It actually can be unstructured. Unstructured can be images, videos, you know, just the text, can be even audio. Having all these together, you need a mechanism to actually understand and process this data. So that's where the natural language processing plays an important role, which is a technology within the AI to process that data. Then it makes that data ready to be fed into the machine learning to do all these, you know, prediction and finding the patterns and learn, basically. And then it comes to another technology, which is robotics, to automate the processes. And then I can think of, you know, I can even mention the graph database, which is very different to traditional databases where we store in the data in tabular format, whereas actually in the knowledge graph or graph database, it's very helpful in modeling the data into many-to-many relationships. So why did I mention all that to say that it's not just the AI that plays an important role? There are different technologies. When they actually work together, you see the real transformation. When you have that in place already, then we have already some, you know, some existing applications, or as you said, like the short-term impact of this AI transformation. You can see that in clinical genomics analysis that uses machine learning to detect and characterize, for example, the genomic variants, which is associated to different cancers. You can also use it to extract the phenotype data. The phenotype data is more around the patient characteristics. And it is extract this information from electronic health records and analyze that to understand the you know, the profile of the patient. So these are very much two examples in the healthcare that's already happening. On the long term, though, so emerging applications, I think the powerful part of the application of AI is on the personalization. So what do we mean by personalization? By understanding the genomic profile of person, you can create a massive opportunity, and you can even, you know, create, for example, personalized food based on one person's gut microbiome profile.
I was actually really afraid that you were starting to talk about Skynet and metrics and that sort of dystopia in the long term, but that's way more interesting. Okay.
Well, you know, it's very helpful. So me and your gut microbiome, I just touched on that point. Let me tell you that the gut microbiome is a very complex data, and making sense of that data is not easy. But if we get there, you know, it's going to be a massive change in people's life, because they can know the good microbiome that exists in their body, and the companies then, like, for example, the, you know, in the agriculture or food, they can produce food based on your profile. Then that's really called personalization.
Regarding, let's change subject for a minute, and I really wanted to ask you about the AI book that you co-wrote. Could you share more about these and who should be reading it? Like, for instance, I am a newbie of AI, but I'm extremely interested in this.
Anyone actually can read that. So anyone who is interested in the application of AI in finance can read that. It's not a technical book. It's well written in a very simple format. And if you are interested in both finance and artificial intelligence, this book is yours. And it's actually a first globally crowdsourced book on the application of AI across the financial services. And when we say the crowdsource, it means that each chapter is actually authored by an expert in that industry. So I haven't authored the entire book. I authored the, I think it's chapter 2 or 3. It's around the application of AI in deposit and lending. So the book was published by the publisher called Wiley and sponsored by the organization called FinTech Circle. So FinTech Circle is a global platform, you know, of FinTech entrepreneurs, investors, financial professionals, academics, etc., and even the solution providers. So how I got to know about the FinTech Circle. So working for years in the FinTech industry, I got to know about, you know, different network of entrepreneurs and fintech professionals and, you know, the platforms. And I built up a good network, and FinTech Circle was one of that. So in 2018, they announced that they their plan for publishing the first globally crowdsourced book on the application of AI across financial services. And they asked the members to write up to 3 abstracts for a set of predefined chapters that they had already defined it. And they asked for people to write 3 abstracts for whichever chapter they would wish to write. And then it would go through the sort of both voting mechanism by the bigger community. And also eventually it would be decided by the panelists or editorial team. And I got a good number of votes, and eventually also the editorial team also asked me to write the full chapter. So that's what I did, and it was published in May 2020. Yes, it's becoming a year now.
Let's go back now to life sciences. What are the opportunities now and the challenges in building an international business in this field?
That's good questions when we compare the opportunities versus the challenges. So some of the opportunities, I touched on that. And I said, like, based on that report, so the McKinsey report, in the next really 20 years, more than half of this direct impact is likely to be outside of the health. Why? It's because there, you know, there are some high risk application when you talk about the healthcare. For example, you know, the adult gene therapy, right? So that will likely be more regulated, and that's the regulation bit that can be a bit of bottleneck for advancement. I'm not really saying that we're not advancing. It's just that the point is that more than half of these impacts is on the other side, which is, you know, the, for example, the agriculture or agri-soil or food or, you know, skincare. So because they are less risky or less regulated. So if you think about building an international businesses in this field, I think people or, you know, business owners, they have to consider that there are lots of opportunity out of the healthcare. But of course, you can't really deny the impact of these, the healthcare application on people's life across the world anyway. And also garnering all these insight from biological data is a massive opportunities, right? Regardless of which sector, which vertical in this life science domain you are focusing on. So the other opportunity is to integrate multi-omic and a multi-modal analysis, to do the multi-modal analysis. So when we're talking about the multi-omics, so it can be, you know, genomics or microbiomics and other omics. So when you actually combine them all and make sense of it and analyze that, there are more opportunities cross sectors that you can actually deal with. If a business owner or if someone wants to actually go into the life sciences and build an international business or a business in life sciences, it's really important to think about the business model. The real opportunity lies in the platform-based business model. And what does that mean? It means that you don't build just a product, you actually build a platform that serves different sectors by serving them by different applications they can use, whether they are in healthcare or whether they are in agri-soil, whether they are in food, and also provide them with the relevant data. So you can actually think about the data as a data product. So you can have a marketplace of different data on your platform. So then businesses can come to your customers, can pay only for the data they use and also the application they use from your platform. So it's quite a big opportunity. And I think the business owner need to think about moving towards a platform base rather than just being a product base. On the challenges, so it's not obviously without the challenge. The critical bottleneck, I would say, is to handle this sheer volume and complexity of information and the you know, life sciences data. So maybe I do a comparison here from, you know, fintech to life science, is that in both places, if you want to actually work on the application of, for example, AI, is to make sense of data, turn data into insight, okay? But the life science data is just a different beast. It's much more complex than if you want to compare it with the financial data. You know, people spend, you know, scientists mainly, they spend their entire life to, or their entire career to understand the data. And the knowledge we have today, the insight from all these data is probably just a fraction of what we can potentially have in future. The main challenge, I go back to that point, the main challenge is how to collect all these data. So it's more about the data accessibility. If you actually want to build up a new business in the life science, you have to think about how, where you want to get these data from and how you're going to handle all this volume of data.
Overwhelming as well. It's too much.
You have to have the right infrastructure and the mechanism to collect all these data and processes. And some of these data are actually owned by the customer, right? So it's a data accessibility. Then it goes to the data quality, which on its own is a different beast. So data science teams normally spend 80% of their time to clean the data and make it, you know, valuable. So no matter how, you know, big your, you know, database or knowledge base is, it's just a matter of how good your data in terms of the quality is. So we use a sort of a terminology, you say a garbage in, garbage out. means that if you don't have a good quality data and you fit into your, you know, for example, machine learning model, you only get garbage out. Now, the other challenge is on the performance of the model. So the performance of the machine learning model, it's the challenge is to set what is the threshold for evidence and validation of these algorithm, right? Because it's really different to traditional software, whichever, you know, all the software that don't really apply, use AI. So that in, from the testing perspective is different. That when you're talking about machine learning, it learns overall and it learns gradually and it learns based on the data you are giving, you're feeding to that. Now, on that note, I want to raise another challenge, which is the bias. So for example, some populations can be, you know, underrepresented in that data, right? And then as a result, the output wouldn't really consider them.
Well, a lot of considerations and challenges. Every time you were describing this, I pictured in my mind, funny enough, a living organism that has to work, you know, in all its part to actually be effective. That's right. I don't know if you brought me there or I'm just tripping. Yeah. And one final question for everyone who comes on the show. I want to be amazed by this. Tell us about one memorable moment from your international career. So the most successful, the funniest, the most catastrophic one, you know, your pick. But I want to be amazed. No pressure.
I think I have probably, I go for the funniest one, but it actually has a very good lesson embedded in that, which I would say is the beauty of working internationally. So a couple of years ago, I was working for a company and we had teams in different countries in the world. And our engineering were also based in the East, in Asia, I mean. I think we heard about a new guy that joined our team. And I think it was the first standup that we had with him. So yeah, I mean, as a normal day-to-day stand-up that we have with the team, you know, we started the stand-up, and when it gets to his turn, he started talking about the work that he was doing, and then all of a sudden we heard a cow mooing so loud and so close to the microphone that for a second, I mean, I thought that something happened to that guy, or the guy would
attacked by a cow.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was absolute silence. And interestingly, no, he was like continuing, you know, giving his updates. And it was just, you know, we on the other side of the world. Yeah, we were absolute silence. But the fact that he was continuing to talk, we didn't want to break him and say, like, saying, okay, what happened? So nobody say, and that cow mooing was really continuous. It was so close to the microphone. So you couldn't believe that where he is.
And nobody asked him about the cow.
So the only reaction was silence itself. So we let that go and we finished it. And, you know, it was just coming out of the shock. And then we got to know about that guy. He was living in a remote village. And he was very top engineer in ML, actually. He had a farm with, you know, all the pets and cows and, you know. And apparently we got to know that about, you know, later that he built up a sort of a smaller office very much close to the stable. But the beauty of that was that you can't imagine how the way of working is, you know, has changed, that you have your ML engineer working in a remote village, having a farm, and now changing the world and actually working on, you know, the most advanced technology at the same time, taking care of the farm as well. It's just beautiful. That was a really international experience I had, and never forget that. And from that day, the mooing sound became a normal sound in our conversation with him.
Well, thank you. I am amazed. Okay. All right, Puya. Before we go, who should connect with you? And tell us a bit more about your current role.
Okay, so maybe I start with my current role. So I work for at the time of, you know, recording this podcast. So I'm working for a company called Eagle Genomics, which is obviously in the life sciences. So we're building the next generation of the network science platform to help the scientists turning life science data, and in particular microbiome data, into insight and deliver insight to be used in different verticals of the industry, agriculture, food, cosmetics, etc. So I'm a product person. I'm actually product lead in there and trying to help the companies, a startup, it's a small one, and trying to help the company not only delivering the platform and the product, but also help them with building the product-led organization by establishing, right product team, processes, culture, defining the strategy, vision, and executing, of course, and deliver the platform to customers. So that's really what I do. Who should connect? I think going back to the first question, probably when we talked about, the conversation, how the world is connected now, and, we are engaging. So I'm all for engagement and conversation with people that are interested in product management, entrepreneurship, life science, even the design, application of AI. These are all the topics that at least I have something to say based on my experience.
Puya, I want to thank you for your very interesting insights. Thank you for joining us on the International Business Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Subscribe today to listen to more international business stories. We have new guests every Monday. Connect with us on LinkedIn, info in the show notes. See you next week. Cheers.